Dear ones, as we open his word, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we are a blessed people to have this opportunity to come in this evening, this midweek, to pause and to gather ourselves together with thy word before us. Lord, we pray unto thee in this evening that thy spirit would move amongst each one of us to enlighten us, O Lord, to instruct us in thy ways, and to bring us, O Lord, unto a deeper understanding and commitment of faithfulness unto thee, the living God. So bless our coming together. May each one of us who have assembled, O Lord, feel the power of thy spirit, that we would yield unto thee so that this hour that we would spend together in worship and fellowship would be an honor and a glory unto thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, let's turn and read together from the prophet Daniel, chapter number 6. The prophet Daniel, chapter number 6. Ljubazni, najde se Božja pomoć da se pročita iz proroka Danila, šesta glava. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Dear ones, the chapter in front of us that we read is a chapter that many of us from our childhood were able to read and have read to us as children. And it's a chapter that we, I believe, all really marveled. And when we considered what had actually taken place, that a man would actually be cast into a den of lions, and probably every one of us here have seen a lion, probably in real life, but of course with some safety between us. And we marvel at its strength, its power, its in his jaws, in his paws, and he's just an extremely powerful beast. And he is programmed, or has that within him, to kill. He's the king of the jungle, as it's called. So as children, we picture this, these lions in the den, hungry lions, and Daniel is being put in that den, and he comes out unscathed. And it's a story that I believe has gripped all of us from a young age. And when we look at this, though, as we grow older and as we read this magnificent story, but it's not a story about lions at all. The story about Daniel is not a story about lions, but it's probably the most recognized when we talk about Daniel. We remember Daniel in the lion's den. But the story about Daniel is not about the lions, the power of the lions and how they were subdued. But what is it that was in Daniel? What is it that was in Daniel? And we find it right away in verse number 3. He said he was preferred above all of the presidents and princes. He was preferred above everyone. Why? It says, because an excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit was in him. And so that needs to immediately bring us to attention. This is the story of Daniel, a man of power, a man of faith, a man of prayer, a man of wisdom? How? How did he come about to this power? It says that he had an excellent spirit within him. And so then we need to simply ask ourselves, what is the spirit that is in me? What is the, as was even brought out in the prayer, imagine someone trying to find a fault with me. It doesn't have to look very far, right? We all readily say that. Well, why? Why is it so easy to find the fault within us? Is it because the excellent spirit isn't there? Because we go back to the beginning of this book, and we find that Daniel, when he was taken into captivity, it says of him that Daniel purposed in his heart not to partake of the king's meat, the king's wine, so that he would not be defiled. So first of all, what Daniel did, he had a purpose. And that purpose that was within him, that's how it all started. The purpose that he had was not to defile himself with the king's meat and wine. And so that purpose then had to be made known. And he made that known, that he doesn't want, he and his friends together had purposed in their hearts they would not be defiled. So they were in captivity. And it was so easy for them to just go along with the flow, right? Just go along with the world. It's so hard to go against the stream, right? So they're in a little canoe and they just go with the stream. It doesn't take any effort. You just smoothly sail along. But to go against the stream, against the current, it takes a purpose. A purpose. And so, dear ones, when we purpose in our hearts, we all have to have a purpose. Without a purpose in our hearts, we can't make one move. We have no goal then. So if you don't have a purpose, you know, because even let's think about it. When we want to, let's say, further our education, go to college, pursue an education. You have to have a purpose. What is the end goal? What is the goal? The purpose has to be set so that you know how to direct your studies. If you have no purpose, you're just in there, you don't even know what you're doing. So we all have to have a purpose. And we have to purpose in our hearts. But is that the end? We see that Daniel, and we'll find it here in this chapter. Daniel, who it tells us here that basically what happened is these men were jealous of Daniel. They saw the life of an excellent spirit. They saw what it was like, and they were jealous of that. They were jealous of his perfection. That he made no mistakes. There was no thievery. He was able to be trusted like no other man was. And they were jealous of him. And so it says they sought to find an occasion against Daniel. We know this happened with Joseph. It happened with Christ. They sought to find an occasion with Daniel and concerning his running of the kingdom, and they couldn't find anything wrong. So they could find none occasion nor any fault. So they're frustrated. What are we going to do now? He was faithful. There's no error, no fault found in him. So they said, we're going to create a way. Because we can find a way when it concerns the law of his God. They know that Daniel was a man of faith. So he purposed in his heart, but he also made that purpose known. The children's song, right? Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a... So you have to have a purpose. He says, dare to make it known. Dare to make it known what your purpose is. And so Daniel made his purpose known. And so they knew that he was a man of God. He didn't hide that. He didn't serve his God secretly. He let it known that the purpose of his was not to be defiled by the world. And to not be defiled by the world, he had to be separate. We sang it in the hymn, being apart. Brother mentioned in the prayer, to be set apart, setting ourselves apart unto God. Be separate. Come out from among them. Daniel was taken into captivity, and he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. In order to do that, he had to come out from among them. He couldn't go down the stream with them. He had to go against the stream. The easiest method is to just go along. Don't buck. Don't be so known. Just hide, cower, cruise along. That's a Christian who is really a hypocrite. Because to have a purpose, we must make it known. We must make our purpose known. Daniel did that. But goes far beyond that then too. Because we see here that they made a decree that, and once the king signed this decree, he himself could not change it anymore. And these people knew this. These princesses and presidents and all these that had this conspiracy and what they were going to do, they knew that once the king signs this into law, it cannot be changed. He himself cannot change it. It's set in stone, is the saying. Well, this power got to King Darius's head. So when they came to him with this proposition, he immediately probably just looked at himself, wow, so you know, I'm the one that's going to be honored and praised and so on. So he easily went along and signs this into law. And then he saw what had happened. Because Daniel, who had a purpose in his heart, it says that he went and he prayed, as was his custom. This is what he did, 3 times a day. He did what Solomon said in his prayer at the dedication of the temple. He says to pray towards Jerusalem, towards the temple. And this is what Daniel was doing. Daniel had that custom. They knew that. Those presidents knew that. They knew that they knew what kind of a man he was. He was a man of God. They knew that he would never change. Look at that. They said, unless we will not find any fault in him unless we create that fault against concerning the law of his God. They knew. Think about that. They knew he would not fear for his life. They knew that they were going to get rid of him by making a decree that he cannot pray to his God. They knew that Daniel would never listen to that. Think about that. How firm his faith and trust in God was known to the men that he had a daily doing with. Do the people that we deal with daily know our purpose in our prayer life? Is it because his purpose and his prayer life brought about this power? This power isn't his. At all. All he had was a purpose in his heart and a prayer to his God. God does everything else. God does everything else. There's nothing you or I could do. What could he have done? Could he have fought off lions? No, but his faith did. His faith did. It says, "No." So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? They say, well, because the lions weren't hungry or because the lions were sleeping. It says, because he believed in his God. That's the only reason he survived. He believed in his God. And the belief that he had in his God was one that he had purposed in his heart, and one that he had continued in prayer unceasingly. 3 times a day, open the windows, look to Jerusalem, and pray to his God. He heard the decree. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that it was a law that cannot be changed. He knew that once it's signed, that it's going to go forth and it's going to take place. And he opened the windows and he prayed. Did he keep the window closed? No, he made his purpose known. He didn't cower. He just simply did as he always did. He opened his windows and he prayed to his God. Could he have said, well, just so I don't lose my life, I'll just keep the window closed, but I'll still pray to my God? Are we afraid of a testimony that we might have because maybe someone will mock us? We live in a completely different time than this was. We live in a completely different time where these things aren't happening right now around us. But because of what he had in his heart, that faith, that belief in his God, just as his three friends who knew, they said, you know, our God can deliver us. They didn't know if he would. He can. And they believed that. And if he chose not to, it was okay with them. Daniel didn't. It doesn't say anywhere here that he knew that the lions would have no mastery over him. But it tells us here that because he believed in his God, there was no man of hurt that was found upon him. And we actually find in the chapter on faith what the scriptures tell us about. He says that through faith, again, because he believed in his God, it says through faith, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. Why? How? How did they subdue kingdoms? Because they believed in their God. How did they do righteousness? So the power wasn't theirs. It's because they believed. It was through faith. Through faith, they obtained promises. The promise didn't come just because the promise was made. The promise would come when they believed. And so through faith, they obtained the promises, and they stopped the mouths of lions. It's not naming Daniel here, but we know who that is. Stop the mouths of lions. How? Through faith. Because he believed in his God. And so, dear ones, as we see, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He always did that, and he continued to do it. Jerusalem was taken into captivity. Judah was taken into captivity. God had set aside his people, the nation of Israel, so that the nation would be a witness to the Gentiles. And they failed. And they're taken into captivity. They were so deeply involved in idolatry that they were taken into captivity, and that's what it took to get them out of it. But God is never left without a witness. God is never going to be left without a witness for him. And so what the nation of Israel failed to do, Daniel did. His three friends did. And so, dear ones, we live in a world God still needs witnesses for him. That's how God operates, through us. You know, Israel failed to be the witness for God. But they believed in God. You know, the Pharisees that were so condemned by Christ, indicted by him, are ones who believed in God. They went to church, to the synagogue. They did. They did everything. And Jesus read off some of the most horrific woes that could ever befall anyone to those who believed in God. And so they had failed to be the witness. And so let's just look at this story. The story is really a story of a power. A power not of the lions, but a power of God. And so how does this power of God, is this power been removed from our midst, from the world? Is the power of God taken away? No. Of course not. Because it is only the power of God that can that we can actually go and serve him. And so we can't purpose in our heart just not to do something. You know, thou shalt not. Okay, I will not. That purpose has to be followed by a call, a plea to God. Prayer. Prayer is that connection. Prayer is what will bring the full purpose that we would have into full bloom. So then we have the proper understanding, the wisdom that it always talks about. You know, Sunday? Yeah, we read it. The wisdom that is from the earth, it's devilish. But the wisdom that is from above is pure. Well, how are we going to get this wisdom? This wisdom comes from above. We can't get it unless we have a purpose. But we can't get this wisdom. God's not going to just dispense this wisdom to man unless that man has a purpose for him, a purpose for Christ. And he follows through with that purpose with prayer, a prayer life that connects him, a prayer life that tells God that he relies upon him and not upon himself. Prayers that are uttered in complete giving and yielding of self over unto him, so that we would then be those witnesses that Christ is looking for. How often, brothers and sisters, do we hear, I'm just weak. Worst thing we can ever utter. Worst thing we can utter. What we need to admit is, I just don't want him as much as I think I do. Because the power, the wisdom, and the power that comes, that's not ours. That comes from God. There is no failure in a man of God. Cannot fail. When his purpose in his heart and his prayer life is such as Daniel's, you cannot fail. What? Yes, you can. What? You're going to say God can fail? Absolutely not. I have to look inward. I have to look inward. What is wrong with me? Is it my purpose? My purpose in life? How am I defiling myself? Daniel refused to defile himself with the king's meat and wine. But I'm not afraid to defile myself with the wine of this world and get drunk. I'm not afraid to defile myself with the riches of this world, seeking to establish who I am. Look at me. Defiling myself. But I have a purpose. I have a purpose. And then comes the failure. And yeah, you know, I'm just weak, you know. God knows that I'm weak. He knows I love him, but he knows I'm weak. Who are we trying to fool? Ourselves. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel good, and the cross is not a place we will go visit then. We won't go there. Because we believe ourselves, like the Pharisees believed. I believe in God. I serve God. I pray to God. And I can still do whatever I want to do because God understands who I am. And that's how we stumble and fumble through life too often. And the power and the wisdom is removed. That's not something that I can get from myself. It doesn't come from me. It comes from God. What comes from me is a purpose and a prayer. Who then is there that can say, I cannot, God doesn't empower me. I cannot. Well, I cannot comes because I don't want. How else can it be described? A purpose and a prayer brings about wisdom. We see a prophet here. Look at the testimony that God had of this Daniel, this man. He says, I heard a voice, and let me just jump down. He says, behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palm of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. A man greatly beloved. This is the testimony that God had for his servant. Is an angel going to touch me? Oh, greatly beloved, as I fumble my way through this life, forgetting my prayer life, forgetting the purpose, forgetting Christ. If he's not my purpose, if he's not Lord of all, he's Lord not at all, but I claim him, but I reject him at the same time. At the same time, we claim and reject. As we read, from the same mouth comes praise of God and cursing of man and so on. Daniel doesn't ever curse man. He doesn't tell these men, I know you. He just went and he prayed to his God. The power was in God. And God chose to stop the mouths of the lions. But he needed a witness. He needed a witness to show Darius who he is. Darius knew that Daniel prayed. Darius knew that Daniel was a man with an excellent spirit. Darius knew these things. But Darius never saw God and his power until he saw this. So the witness, brothers and sisters, my dear friends, we have to be witnesses because God can show and glorify. Who did he glorify here? Who was glorified? Was Daniel glorified? God forbid. God was glorified through Daniel, who was a witness to bear, to have the power of God displayed. The power of God was displayed, not the power of Daniel. What could Daniel do? Nothing. The power of God is. So you see, dear ones, as we witness, we give God glory. As we don't witness, who do we glorify? Who? We're going with the flow. Going with the flow. The world glorifies and praises and worships Satan. If we go with the flow, who are we worshiping? If we would go against it, it's not easy. It takes a purpose. And then with that purpose, with that prayer, dear ones, we have an understanding. And with that understanding, the power of God rests upon us. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, let's never underestimate God. But more so, we just need to look at ourselves. What is the purpose of my life? If it's Christ, Paul said, I gave everything up so that I may know him. We look at this and say, well, Daniel didn't give everything up. He was the tops. He gave everything up. No king's meat, no king's drink, no wine, no, he didn't need that. God used him in this manner to show himself to the Gentile world, something that the nation failed to do. Dear ones, we are now that nation who is to show the world who God is. If I fail, if you fail, God will not be left without a witness. But we will be condemned. And so, is there an excuse? Do we have any excuse? Do we have any excuse for our lack of commitment, our lack of purpose? You know, because when we set our heart right, everything flows from the heart. The externals flow from what's inside of us. But if we focus on the externals, we're still left destitute. Yeah, we could do. I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. I could show all kinds of good things and deeds and everything. But Paul says it means nothing to you. It's nothing without love. And so again, what is love? Love is God. God is love. And so if God is our center, our life, our purpose, Christ, Jesus, He is all, then from that comes an understanding and comes a power. And with that is victory. Victory in Jesus. My dear young friends, it's easy to just go with the flow. Just go. It's hard to say no. But once you say no, the blessings that follow, you'll never receive in this world. Don't ever fall under the pressures when someone is pressuring. Daniel was pressured. His friends were pressured. But they said no. Don't be ashamed to say no to that which is wrong. Rather, be ashamed to sit in that canoe and just go down that stream, the stream of life that leads into death. And say no. Say no so that when that no comes because you love God and because you want Him and you pray to Him, Lord, give me the strength. Give it to me. I love you. And He's going to give you the blessings and the power. And pretty soon, the temptations that are all around us, they're non-existent. They're non-existent. There's nothing. Paul said, there is nothing that can take me away from the love of God. Nothing. He says, as a matter of fact, about separating ourselves. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is that wisdom that comes from above, that comes through a purpose and a prayer. Comes the transforming of a mind, renewing, being, and the transformation comes from the renewing of the mind, which is the wisdom of God, which is given to us by Him. And that transforms. That's the power. And then you're proving that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're not going to prove that through my I'm going to do this. You prove that through your prayer life and through your purpose of who is the center of your life. That's how that is shown. He says it also, he says in Romans 6:13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That was Daniel. OK, Can we not do those things and still see God? Religion will tell us yes. God will say no. No. So may God, dear ones, bless his word upon our hearts. This fascinating story of Daniel, which is really not a story at all about the lions. It's about the power of God. And it's about a man who had set himself apart from this world. And he was transformed by a mind that was renewed in Christ Jesus. He prayed to his God. He purposed in his heart. He received the wisdom and the power. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
We just prayed together that we would be faithful to thee and love thee, our Savior, until the end. That is a beautiful purpose and prayer for each of us to take with us. And these lessons of purpose and prayer, may they be the building materials of our spiritual house that we build upon the rock of Jesus Christ, that we would not be destroyed when the evil days come, but that we would be able to watch and pray through remembering these lessons and applying them to our hearts. May God bless his word. Amen.